Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey friends, Naz here. I just wanted to hop on really quick before we get into today's episode to let everyone know that parts of our conversation include subject matters regarding mental illness, disordered eating, and suicide. So if these subjects could be potentially triggering for you, please listen at your own discretion. We're super excited to have Sarah sharing a bit of her experience with us today, but we want to remind you that this content is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your mental health professional or other qualified health providers with any questions you may have regarding your condition. Never disregard professional advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you hear on this podcast. Please know that if you are in crisis or you think you may have an emergency, call 911 immediately. You can also call SAMHSA's National Helpline, 1-800-662-HELP. That's 4357. This is a confidential, free, 24-hour-a-day information service in English and in Spanish for individuals and family members facing mental and or substance use disorders. This service provides referrals to local treatment facilities, support groups, and community-based organizations. And if you're looking outside the United States, call your local emergency line immediately. We hope today's episode with Sarah can inspire positive conversations and awareness about mental health and destigmatize seeking treatment options for mental illness. We hope you enjoy. I don't get it. Podcast. What's up, guys? Welcome to the I Don't Get It podcast. This is Naz.
This is Ashley.
Lauren.
And we have a very special guest, a friend of ours, Sarah Herron, who's just the best, the prettiest, former Bachelor contestant. You guys know who she is. And we decided to have Sarah on because Sarah recently publicly opened up on Instagram and posted that she has experience with bipolar disorder. And I was like Googling, like, I just felt like I've always heard about bipolar disorder and I've either seen it in movies or I know someone whose family member has it or I've had grandparents that have had it, but I don't like know anything about it. And chances are if you're listening, you may have it or know someone that does because it's very common. I think more than 3 million US cases per year. And so yeah, Sarah's on to tell us about her experience.
Oh my gosh. Well, hi.
Hi.
It's literally so good to see you guys. I mean, like, I feel like I catch up with you all because we're living vicariously through everyone's like Instagrams. Yeah. And Ashley and Lauren, I love watching you guys at home with your folks. Like, the dynamic is so fun. I'm just like waiting for you guys to get the TV show. I'm sure it's coming, but
I don't know about that, but thank you for saying that.
Like, I think, oh my gosh, you were giving your dad a facial or something one night. Died.
And my breath was so bad, apparently. Yeah. I had garlic breath. Yeah. Oh, you ate onion.
So no, it's great to see you guys. And thank you so much for having me on and allowing space for us to have this conversation. It's obviously pretty new for me. And I was explaining to the girls before I jumped on this just a few minutes ago that like this is new territory for me. And I've gone on dozens of podcasts and talked about my nonprofit. I've talked about The Bachelor. I've talked about growing up with one arm, but I've never talked about this publicly before. And so it is new territory for me. And I don't necessarily always have the right words or like the media training for it. So I just thank you guys for allowing me to have this space to kind of informally chat with you guys and tell you a little bit about my experience.
Totally.
Thank you for coming on here.
I think that's a perfect way of like saying it too, because I think when people listen to one person with an experience, they assume that that person's speaking for any and all experiences. And it's like, we're just talking to Sarah about, you know, what she's experienced. Obviously, there's different types and people have different experiences, but I thought it was really brave and so incredible of you to open up about it. What made you like open up about it recently? Or want to?
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it's an interesting disorder. Like, forgive me as we go through this, because even still, sometimes I'm like, do I call it a disorder? Do I call it mental illness? I'm just figuring it out myself. So, I would say the timeline of events was, and I would think when you speak to someone who's been diagnosed with bipolar, oftentimes they already knew they had it, or there's like inklings and suspicions of, well, something feels a little off, or, you know, if you're in tune with yourself, you know, okay, my brain works a little bit differently. The chemicals in my brain are firing a little bit differently than my friends or my family. Mm-hmm. So I kind of suspected in the last couple years, like, wow, this is really interesting. Like, I kind of go from 0 to 60 really fast. And then I stay at those places for a couple days and even sometimes a couple months. And for me, the most notable symptom was mania. And I've actually been diagnosed bipolar type 1 and type 2 by different psychologists. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I'm like, it doesn't really matter if it's type 1 or type 2 to me, because it's all just something that I live with and have to treat.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So I tend to lean more manic than depressive. And
can you explain with the audience what that means?
Sure. So everyone's pretty familiar with depression. Everyone experiences depression at some point in their life. And for me, like, yes, I feel feelings deeply. I'm really emotional. I've always felt like maybe I didn't belong with my peers, or they just couldn't relate to me because I felt things on a much, much deeper level. But I never really struggled with like debilitating depression. That wasn't me. I know a lot of people have that. What I experience is what we call mania, which is where like I will get on a creative high for several days, if not weeks or months, where I just feel unstoppable. And it's like this overwhelming sense of energy and enthusiasm, and it feels really euphoric. Like a lot of people describe it as feeling like you're on top of the world, and it feels great. And for some people, in some instances, it can lead to some experiences, I think, that come with more serious repercussions. You know, there's a lot of addiction and just risky behavior that can be associated with states of mania. For me, fortunately, it was just like always creativity. And I do feel that like in a way, they say, you know, some of the greatest artists of all time have had bipolar disorder. And
yeah.
And so I do think it's contributed largely to my career in advertising and having to pull all-nighters and meet crazy deadlines and being able to even start my own nonprofit. So it's given me...
It's like your superpower, like, yes. You know, Kanye is obviously...
I think he has bipolar also. So it's interesting, and that's exactly how my therapist and my psychiatrist have helped me phrase it, is that it can be my superpower. But it can also come with its own struggles, obviously. And it's been difficult through different phases of my life to maintain relationships and friendships. And it's also, I think, contributed to a lot of probably toxic relationships with people. And it's just like a melting pot. Everyone, like if you guys all went in and talked to your therapist, everyone's like a melting pot of a bunch of different things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's tough to just classify, okay, I'm just living with bipolar disorder. No, I'm also living with like attachment disorder and anxiety disorder. And it's like, it's a bunch of things. And so not one person is going to experience this mental illness in the same way as the next person.
So I think a lot of people, when they think bipolar disorder, that means somebody is really manic, really happy some weeks, and then some weeks they're really depressed. Do you get those depressed weeks, or do you just feel normal weeks? Normal with quotation marks around them.
I've had some pretty depressive swings, but I've learned to like identify them a little bit better now. I would say in the past, it was mostly just like manic swings. And then kind of leveling out in between. But I've had a few depressive swings, but I'm able to sense when they're coming on a little bit easier. But I would say like, I definitely tend to swing more up.
In your post, you said that you and like your doctors figured out your like perfect medication, right? Mm-hmm. So do you ever like miss your like highs?
Okay, that's such a great question because I am working through that right now. Because the reality is, yes, it mm-hmm. has brought me down quite a bit. And so a result of that is not having the same creative drive and motivation. But I also think like I'm trying to be gentle on myself because all this also happened like with COVID and mm-hmm. we're all working from home. It's hard to have creativity as it is right now. So I'm trying to just be like gentle on myself, but 100%, it's like, I'm happy to be on medication. I'm happy to be self-aware. I'm happy to have sustaining, healthy, positive relationships. And a cost of that is a little bit of like losing my creative mm-hmm. genius, so to speak.
Mm. So it's a new year. It's time to make a fresh start. And we feel like it's a perfect time to build hydration into your new healthy routine. I know you, yes, I'm talking to you who's listening right now, is all in your like, this is my year. I'm going to just like be healthy and drink more water. Well, guess what? You can actually do it with the help of Hydrant, one of our new favorite sponsors. Let's be real. The days are shorter. It's colder. Our energies are lower. And we all know that we should be drinking more water. But by the time that we feel thirsty, it is unfortunately too late. You're already dehydrated.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't focus. You feel tired. Oh, yeah. So keep feeling.
You guys never heard that?
Sorry. You guys never heard that?
That if you're thirsty, it's already a sign that you're dehydrated. So you like kind of should never feel thirsty.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1,000%.
Well, try Hydrant if you want to not be thirsty ever again. Hydrant is a refreshing drink mix powder made with 4 key electrolytes. That's sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. And it's made with real fruit juice powder and no artificial sweeteners or synthetic colors. Love, no nonsense, love, all
love.
Science.
Okay, I love that.
Also, but with Hydrant, you can have the Hydrant Immunity, which is basically taking your daily vitamins while hydrating. So
it is so insane. Immunity, it's like an extra boost.
It has vitamin A, B6, B12, C, and D, along with ginger and turmeric. And it's kind of like everything you need all in one glass.
Plus, there's a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund. Jared and I use this stuff whenever we fly, of course, because you get so dehydrated in the air. We use it whenever we get a headache, and
And those are the specific times where we like feel like we need it. But we do drink it all the time. Always makes us feel really good. And, you know, if you're thinking like, what can being more hydrated do for you? You get improved mood, better focus, mental clarity, more energy, clear skin. I think that's a good enough reason. So today, you can save up to 20% on your first order. We got a special deal for you guys, 20% off your first order, but you got to go to drinkhydrant.com/get it. And when you're there, you can also just plug in our promo code, which is get it at checkout. That is drinkhydrant, DRINKHYDRANT.com/get it. Promo code get it for 20% off your first order.
So drinkhydrant.com/get it. Enter the promo code get it. Save 20%. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Hydrant, where water meets wellness.
Do you mind us asking, like, how those manic episodes would affect your relationships in a negative light?
For me, the biggest thing was irritability. So if I was like high or manic, it would just be like, I would be so laser focused on what I was working on. I could sit on the computer and work from 5 a.m. until 7 or 8 o'clock at night without ever standing up to get a meal. I mean, I would go to the bathroom and that was pretty much it. And there was a time when I was like living at home, starting my nonprofit, and my mom would literally have to like tell me to stop working. Mm-hmm. And so in that time, as a result of not eating and not properly taking care of myself, I'd get really irritable and snap or lash out at people around me. And by the time I moved in with my boyfriend, Dylan, you can't really like hide from those behaviors anymore. And when you have a partner who's like holding you accountable to stepping away from the computer every once in a while and like living a normal life, like you can't lash out at your partner. And so I think it was really like driving a wedge between Dylan and I, because he'd be like, you're being a bitch. Like, what the heck? I didn't do anything to you. Why are you being so irritable? And for me, I would just be like, well, I don't know. It's because I'm busy, Casey. I'm busy. Like, mm-hmm. It was difficult for me to like, to be self-aware, I guess. I just would get so into what I was doing.
So then he kind of brought you to go to like a psychiatrist and get it actually diagnosed?
So we had gone through some rough patches in our relationship that we just like, we couldn't figure out what was going on. Yes, it was my irritability. And so I started seeing a therapist, but we were like, I don't know. It just felt like maybe there was something a little deeper. And, you know, I think one night kind of off the cuff, Dylan means well, like I'm the world to him. He has a heart of gold, but he said like, you know, maybe you have bipolar, or like maybe you're bipolar, the way that I think people kind of use bipolar as like almost.
Yeah. Like I'm so bipolar right now, or you're so right. Bipolar. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think he was like, you know, have you ever thought maybe you're bipolar? And it just kind of made me feel like, oh my God, like, yeah, I kind of have thought that maybe I am. Mm-hmm. And so I started Googling it and I was like, I fit pretty much every criteria on this like symptom page, but this is all like web-based searches, right? You never mm-hmm. know. And you could diagnose yourself with anything online. But my anxiety was like so through the roof. I was just like, okay, I have to go get some like Xanax or anti-anxiety medicine. I didn't even know what I needed or wanted, but I just took myself to the doctor. I didn't even know how to go about it. I went to a general physician at like the family medicine place. Mm-hmm. I don't have a doctor. And I said, this is how I'm feeling. At the time, the particular time, like the height of it, I was having extreme paranoia, extreme anxiety. I was having, I hate to call them like visualizations, but I could like imagine myself dying in almost like Final Destination like scenarios. I mean, I would be driving down the road behind a pickup truck, and the pickup truck was carrying a washing machine, and I would like visualize the washing machine falling out and hitting my windshield and killing me in the car. I'd be on a hike with my boyfriend and I would have this visualization of a mountain lion jumping out and killing him. And like, what would I do in that scenario? How would I get him and I off the mountain? Like, really pretty graphic. And
I actually read, Sarah, that, and not that your visualizations were suicidal. I'm just sharing that I read that is actually very common, which I was a little shocked to read that sort of comes with the territory.
Yeah. I've never suicidal heard of that before. Yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah. Suicidal thoughts, or I think they call it like suicidal ideation, which is just like, you're not contemplating committing suicide, but you have thoughts of dying. And so my anxiety was just like so high, and I was literally convinced people were trying to like sabotage SheLift and take SheLift, my nonprofit, away from me and expose me as someone that wasn't capable of running the nonprofit. Wow. And so just like, but things that felt really real, you know, like,
yeah,
it was so real for me. So
like catastrophic thinking, but in your mind and in your body, you're feeling like this is actually going down.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Got it.
And like, I knew the visualizations, like that's not real, but yeah, like I had a case of like, people are out to sabotage SheLift. And then I just found myself in reaction mode, trying to like put together a plan of how I was going to save SheLift. And then that would take 17 hours of my day. And,
oh no.
And it just becomes like a vicious cycle that you get trapped in. So
hit a breaking point with those.
Yeah. So I went to the general physician and I was like, I'm having crazy anxiety. And she said, okay, well, I need to see if you match any of the criteria for bipolar disorder. And I'd be lying if I didn't say, like, deep down, I felt relieved that she was asking, because I was like, okay, we're going to find out. Like, this is, you know, this is real. And so she asked me, I think there's like 7 questions on the diagnostic criteria. And I said yes to 5 of them. And so she said, okay, well, I can't prescribe you any anxiety medicine because it can actually have an adverse effect for people with bipolar. Mm.
Wow. Okay.
If you guys listen to the podcast, which obviously you do, you may remember Naz and I bugging out about one of our sponsors a couple weeks ago because they have created a cereal that tastes like the sugary childhood favorites, but has like no bad stuff in it. It has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein. It has only 3 net carbs. And these are the flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. What is this magic called? It's called Magic Spoon.
It's literally witchcraft, because I don't know that I'll ever reach an age where cereal for dinner at night when you're just too lazy to cook, or because that is your preference, is not an option. Like, that is just, I always want to live in that life. And thanks to Magic Spoon, I can do so without feeling so disgusting. So guys, it's keto friendly, it's gluten free, it's grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. It tastes so amazing. I like to mix the cocoa and blueberry because, you know, I just have to always have a little chocolate, but always also want just a little fruit in my mix. I have it with almond milk, and it's just like, oh, so like crunchy and savory and yummy. So yeah, Magic Spoon, try it.
Go to magicspoon.com/getit to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GETIT at checkout and save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/getit and use the code GETIT, G-E-T-I-T, to save $5 off. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
I was going to ask, how often is anxiety and depression confused with bipolar? Like, how many people are usually misdiagnosed? Do you have those facts?
I don't have those facts, but I think it is probably pretty easy to confuse them because to your point earlier, like, I grew up thinking like, well, bipolar, that, like, that's when Britney Spears shaved her head and was like crazy on the street. Like, I'm not like that. And so people have this like stereotypical idea of what bipolar is and that it's this like far out there disorder. And And even if that is you or anyone who's listening to this, like, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not bad. But that was like my idea of it. And I didn't fit into that picture. I didn't feel that way. So I think a lot of people think that, yeah, like bipolar is more extreme than it is. And it's actually not that bad and can be confused with anxiety and depression. But the reason you can't take antidepressants or anxiety medicine when you have bipolar is because it can actually, so like antidepressants increase your serotonin level. And the problem with doing that, if you have bipolar, is that it can induce a manic episode because mm-hmm. you're bringing your serotonin up.
Because you already have those high highs.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's actually really important that you don't get put on antidepressants if you have bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm being long-winded.
No,
that's exactly what we wanted.
This is so captivating.
We just want to hear you.
More serotonin, like flying through the roof and like making your own airplane or something, just going absolutely, you know, manic.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So, and also like if anyone is listening to this, like I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a doctor, obviously, yeah. Please consult a professional, because everyone is unique and different, but, yeah. So, okay. So she said, I can't give you anxiety medication. I need to refer you to a psychiatrist. And mm-hmm. so, I think I went like the next day. I called the psychiatrist. I said, I need to come in immediately. And she fit me in. And essentially we just went through the same thing. She just interviewed me for a long time, asked me to talk about my background and asked me the same questions. And she said, you know, sure enough. Yeah. I think you have bipolar. I think she said type 2 at the time. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to get me started on medication. And so I left. And at the time, Dylan was out of town. My boyfriend was out of town. And so I just kind of came home. And as I described in my Instagram post, like I just felt this wave of relief on one regard, because I felt finally like, I feel like seen, like this is actually being named and diagnosed. And now there's going to be treatment and a way to move out of this. And at the same time, I was consumed with just guilt and like anxiety of how I was going to tell people and if they would feel responsible. I felt super concerned my parents would feel responsible. And it's, you know, wow. It's not their
fault.
Is it
in their family? Is it like genetic?
It can be, right? That's like one way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's
can
a bunch
be
of different ways,
but more so it's that like if someone in your family has it, then the offspring can be, the children can be more like predisposed.
Yeah. That's the best of all the words. None of us knew that word.
Predispositioned. I don't know. Art could be more likely to develop it. But from my understanding, bipolar is actually, it is developed through like series of emotional trauma and also it's a nurture versus nurture type thing. Yeah. It's not like cut and dry, you're born with it. A lot of factors have to kind of come together to actually like
bring it to life.
Fruition. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was going to ask. So it's like you could be living with it dormant and you can kind of develop it.
I don't know if I would say it like that, but
I actually have something up here. It says, just so everyone knows, the exact cause of bipolar isn't known, but a combination of genetics, environment, and altered brain structure and chemistry may play a role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I would say I've always felt, since I was in middle school, I always felt different. I always felt like I didn't fit in. I always felt emotionally, like I said, I feel things deeply, but I wouldn't say I ever felt like I had bipolar in middle school or high school. I don't really feel like it actually like came on maybe until the later part of my 20s.
I feel like, okay, later part of your 20s, because I know like schizophrenia comes out in your later part of your 20s, but like,
is that the earlier part of your 20s? schizophrenia.
I
sorry.
Think in your 20s.
It's your 20s. Well, Lauren's the doctor.
I'm the doctor. I'm sitting here with all of my things. I'm sitting in my dad's office, everyone listening, with all these like medical things behind me. It's hard to be like a student, like a middle schooler or a high schooler, living on your parents' like time and stuff, and then have a manic state and like being like, I need to sit at this laptop or my computer or do my craft for like 24 hours without breaking, because they're going to be like, hello, you got to go to school. You got to do these things that, you know, the schedule. So it's kind of like allowing you to break out being an adult.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I feel like I can say this with you guys particularly, but I don't want to like put anyone under the bus, but I feel like The Bachelor kind of played a big role in this for me, because I got pretty fixated on like being thin enough and making sure I was working out enough before going to Paradise and restricting my eating. And because I lived alone, like those behaviors they become secretive. Like exactly like you said, Lauren, no one's holding you accountable to making sure you eat 3 meals a day and aren't behaving kind of abnormal. Sorry,
my dog Rio. No, it's so sweet in the background.
It's interesting you say that, because I wanted to ask you, Sarah, what, you know, have you explored those emotional traumas like you mentioned that you think might have offsetted it? And that definitely answers, you know, that.
So Ashley and I have a weird allergy to soy. I think a lot of other people actually have it. And it's a very odd thing. You don't really know what has soy in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of our,
it's
like
super weird, because like some soy things don't bother me, but one thing that always has bothered me when it comes to soy is like a protein bar.
Yes. So I grabbed a protein bar before working out the other day, and I was like, shit, I don't even know if I can go to my workout class because I'm feeling like I just have an allergic reaction to soy. So now I only grab I have Monk Pack, which is a whole bunch of different variety of bars. They're keto and nut seed bars, and they contain less than 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs. So, and they're only 150 calories, which is incredible, because the other one that I used to grab that had soy in it was like 350 calories.
And I've been doing, you know, a lot of fertility research and stuff, and they just talk about like the certain foods that you need to really incorporate in your diet. Besides fruit and vegetables, nuts and seeds are so high up on the like should have list. And I love that Monk Pack keto nut and seed bars have that perfect balance of sweet and salty. They have a nice crunch, which is always my favorite type of texture. And they also are soft and chewy at the same time. It's like this, it's magical. It's a magical texture.
They have sea salt dark chocolate. So basically delicious. Pecan almond and peanut butter dark chocolate. And again, delicious. They also have, it's no soy, as we said. No trans fat, no sugar alcohols or artificial colors.
Yeah. And the sea salt dark chocolate is actually my favorite. And what I love is that in quarantine, you guys know I'm in LA, super lockdown. So a lot of my life is still on Zoom. And sometimes I like to sleep in like right up until the last minute. So for a quick breakfast, I'll have the Monk Pack keto nut and seed bar, like just for a quick breakfast. But yeah, this episode is actually sponsored by Monk Pack, who makes snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with less than 1 gram of sugar. So guys, try it for yourself and you'll see we have a special deal for our listeners. You can get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product. All you have to do is visit monkpack.com and enter our code GETIT at checkout. Monk Pack is so confident in their product that it's backed with an 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. So safe. Might as well try it. So to get started, go to monkpack.com. That's MUNKPACK.com. Select any product, then enter the code GET IT at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack is delicious, nutritious food you can count on. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. I wanted to go back for a second and talk about shame and guilt, because you mentioned that you had all this shame and guilt when you found out, which I can't imagine is helpful in any way, because you just found out that you officially have this thing that you like have to deal with. You're just someone that I feel like I love our friendship and I appreciate you so much. And I look up to you as a mentor, which she left and stuff. And Sarah's helped me with Heartbroken, but I feel like you've just overcome so much and And I say that with such sincerity. Like, I say that to people all the time, right? Like, oh, we've all overcome like life, but like you really have. And I think people can either be like, oh, like you could easily be like, oh, now I have this to deal with, or I'm not able-bodied or whatever it is. So like, how do you circumvent like that shame and guilt? Mm-hmm. And how do you just like, literally, I feel like you do such a good job of like being positive and like really just striving with all these like superpowers.
Thank you. I would say like when I very first found out, how do I say this? Everything is, there's just no, like it's multifaceted, right? Okay. When I first found out about my diagnosis, truthfully, yes, I rode the wave of like, oh my gosh, will my parents feel responsible? Is Dylan going to break up with me? Oh, I finally feel seen and now I can move on towards healing. I also had this feeling of, well, if anyone was meant to get this, I can do it. Mm-hmm. And I have an opportunity when I'm ready to talk about this with the world. And I knew back then, I was like, one day I will be comfortable and ready to talk about this with the world and people are going to need it. So I need to work through this. And it took a year. Like I didn't tell anyone for a year. And then I finally felt ready to like come out about it. But I truly felt like I can do this. I need to do this. And I will do this for other people, not just for myself. But that also wouldn't have happened without The Bachelor. So it's like everything.
Isn't it funny how life, it's just life is so not a coincidence. It's wild. That just gave me chills that you just said though.
Oh, thanks. I mean, it was wild to find out. But like I said, I really viewed it as a positive thing. And, you know, I probably came up with excuses for a long time, not reasons why not to go see a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. reasons to just like brush it under the rug. And to anyone who's listening, if you do have these suspicions about your own mental health, I encourage you to talk to a professional about it, because once you can figure out what you're living with, like that's truly when you move towards healing. And it's only going to get easier from there once you have resources and support.
Have you seen your relationships improve since learning this? Has it taken any effect there?
Yes. So my relationship with Dylan has been so much better, because it was tough at first. I couldn't tell him for a week or so. As I said, he was out of town. Mm-hmm. And so when I met up with him, I was really nervous to tell him. And I just explained it to him in ways that made me feel safe and comfortable. And I devised this plan with my therapist, and we put together a set of words and language that I could talk about it that felt comfortable, rather than going to him and being like, okay, Dylan, so I found out I have bipolar. Mm-hmm. Do you still want to be with me? Like, I got to go to him and say, so I've been working with my therapist, and it was thanks to her referral, we decided to investigate a little bit further with a psychiatrist about what's been going on for me. And we've decided that I have a mood disorder. And that's where I left it at the beginning, because even still for me, it was kind of a bitter pill to swallow saying I have bipolar. For me, like the way I coped with it was like, I have a mood disorder. That's how I started out. and so then I just explained to him, that means like I feel things intensely and my highs are high and my lows are low. But, you know, I really believe with support, I'm going to be able to move forward and start to get better. And I hope I have your support. And without a doubt, I had his support and have had his support every step of the way. So, you know, I think just getting that off my chest made our relationship better. And it probably gave him a lot of insight into why I was being a bitch, or why I was being like so irritable all the time. And now it's like, we can just have confident, open conversation around what's going on with my mental health. And now I've learned the tools to ask him what's going on with his mental health sometimes. And it just has been really, really positive for our communication style.
Our longtime listeners will know how much we love the product brand for a healthy, clean mouth quip. We love them, right? Love. So you got your brush, you got your floss, and now there's like one other thing that can help your mouth feel clean and fresh, and that is gum. It is the unsung hero, actually, when it comes to better oral health. The American Dental Association recommends chewing sugar-free gum for 20 minutes after meals. Isn't that, like, actually quite something?
Yeah, like, they recommend it. That's
it keeps
wild.
Your mouth moist so you don't get, like, bad breath in.
You just wanted to say that
I did.
Word,
I'm
Lauren,
so sorry.
So
it keeps
bad.
Your mouth moist. And it also relieves stress and curbs your appetite. All good things.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. That's so true. I always love that because it can, like, curb cravings, right? You're like, I need that now. It's like, oh, I don't really need that now. But anyway, gum can actually help prevent cavities when you chew it for 20 minutes after eating. So Quip's gum, it's sugar-free. It has a tooth-friendly ingredient that has zero calories. And it is so satisfying to your taste buds. It's a long-lasting mint flavor. And they have a crunchy tri-layer design. And I love crunchy, you know? Just love crunchy.
I was just going to say, I just want to preface that this gum, guys, is not a substitute for brushing and flossing. So don't think that popping in a piece of gum is going to brush your teeth. But this is a great way to support your oral health. You can actually pair it with the Quip electronic toothbrush. They have ones for adults and kids. Refillable floss. They have even more great products. And right now they have special holiday deals. So you should definitely check them out. So if you go to getquip.com/get it, right now you can get a free plastic dispenser with any refill plan. Can I get an applause for the free plastic dispenser?
I think those are
That's
important.
A free dispenser at getquip.com/get it, spelled getquip.com/get it. Quip, the good habits company.
Let's talk about the importance of medication. I feel like a lot of people are like the people that say, I don't want to be on anything, or there's a stigma about it, or like maybe I can solve it through natural ways. But sometimes the best answer is medication, and you fully embrace that. You have anything that you want to elaborate on there?
And side effects and all that jazz.
Just talk side effects. We could also just talk about how, if people need it, they should not feel ashamed to take it.
Right. I feel I'm a huge proponent and advocate of accepting medication now. Before I wasn't. I think for a couple of years, I tried to just go to yoga, go to learn how to meditate, like go on hikes, use the outdoors as therapy. And all of those are really great tools for helping with mental health. But at the end of the day, sometimes you really just have to, well, you don't have to, but I encourage people to use medical intervention because, you know, this analogy that we came up with, Dylan and I came up with, and my therapist did, which is like, if you break your foot, no one is going to expect you to hobble around on a broken foot. They're going to say, you need to get a cast and you need to elevate your leg and maybe stay off your leg until you feel better. And so, you know, I truly believe that there's like a holistic approach. Yes, you should be hiking and spending time in nature. You should be doing yoga and meditation, but you should also consider the medical resources that are available to us. Because at the end of the day, if you have a chemical imbalance in your brain, I don't think all the meditation in the world can change that. And maybe for some people it can, but for me, it couldn't anymore.
Are there different medications for like different types of bipolar disorder?
Well, I know there's just different brands and types of medication. And then there's obviously various doses. Yeah. And I'm super, super, super fortunate that the very first medicine I ever tried worked really well for me. I'm on a brand called Lamictal. And I think the generic is Lamictal and the brand name is Lamotrigine. I'm not sure, but I'm only saying that for people who might be listening. And I've been taking 150 milligrams daily of that. And typically people will take anywhere from 100 to 300 milligrams. But you have to spend a lot of time like figuring out what your dose is. And then there's so many other brands. So I got very fortunate that the very first one I tried was perfect. it took a little bit of finessing the dosage until I got what was right for me. But I know a lot of people really struggle and will spend years and years trying to figure out a medication that's right for them.
Wow. And even the dosage, right? Mm-hmm. That's, can you just elaborate a little more on that? Like the tinkering and like figuring it out and what that was like actually like day to day.
Well, I was really worried that, one, I was scared to take the medicine because I was like, it's going to put me in a fog or I'm just going to turn into this zombie. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to like dull my light or creativity. And I really have had no side effects other than I, as I mentioned at the beginning, yes, I feel like my creative drive has like dwindled mm-hmm. a little bit, but other than mm-hmm. that, I've had no side effects. But the reason I could tell I needed to adjust was because when I first started at like 50 milliliter,
that's a lot, dude.
Drinking it. At first, like it worked for 3 months and then I started, you can feel it. You can just feel when it stops,
right.
Which is the interesting thing. Like I can't feel it when it is working, but I can feel it when it's not working.
Yes. I understand that kind of with like antidepressants, like you know when you're getting irritable again, you know when you're going to strangle someone and you're like, okay, time to up that.
Yeah.
My parents are always like, Lauren, are you taking your medication?
Yeah. It's like, I still want to strangle you.
And that's the thing, right? I've had to learn that in also like communicating with your partners or your family, because Dylan will say the same thing to me sometimes. And I know that it's coming from a good place, but it's observational. Like he's like, you seem a little irritable again. Is everything on track? Yeah. And I think what I've learned is valuable is knowing that like the medicine isn't going to be a cure-all. We are humans. Like, yes, we're still going to have fluctuations in our mood and we're going to be irritable, even if the medicine is working right.
Yes. A certain level of irritability is normal.
Right. Exactly.
If you're happy and like, yeah, do whatever you want all the time, then that's also going to cause some problems.
Yeah. Then you're not human also. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people out there, I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but the thought of going to a therapist, psychiatrist, like it freaks them out. There's like, I'm too awkward. Like that makes me feel so uncomfortable. Like I'm going to get anxiety from going to mm-hmm. fix my anxiety mm-hmm. or help ease my anxiety. Do you have any tips for people to like ease those worries?
So before Sarah actually gives us tips, we wanted to tell you guys about one of our favorite sponsors that we have been getting a lot of feedback for. And a lot of people have actually been using and saying that it's been helping them through these crazy ass times that we're living in. It's called BetterHelp, and BetterHelp is basically an online service where you can find counselors and therapists from all over the world. And my favorite part about it is that it is so convenient. You can actually like text a counselor whenever you need to speak. And my other favorite part about it is that it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and they actually have financial aid available.
You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video sessions or phone sessions or text sessions, and all without ever having to leave the comfort of your home. And also, so you don't have to sit in that uncomfortable waiting room.
There are licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, anxiety, stress, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. Everything you share is confidential. And like we talk about in this podcast, if you don't match, you know, your personality doesn't match with a certain therapist, you can switch, no big deal. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So if you guys want to start living a happier life today, as a listener of this podcast, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/get it. Join over 1 million people who are taking charge of their mental health at betterhelp.com/get it.
Yeah, I feel like slowly with the help of, you know, we're hearing about these platforms like BetterHelp and Talkspace. Mm-hmm. I think people are becoming more familiar with talk therapy. But I really do want to encourage people that it can take some time to find the right person to talk to. But when you do, like, it is like getting to talk to your best friend for 1 hour a week. Like, unbiased, non-judgmental. And every time I go to therapy, it's like the greatest release. But I understand, like I said, for some people, it can be really difficult to find that person that they totally jive with. Mm-hmm. And I just would encourage you, like, keep trying. If you're not finding the right person, ask your friend who your friend sees, because I guarantee more people in your circle are going to therapy than they're talking about. And so there's just really amazing resources. And the whole purpose of being able to go to therapy and talk to someone is to reduce that anxiety, not cause more. So it's tough, and maybe I don't have the best advice, but I would just say, trust it. Trust it.
Did you stick with the therapist that you saw initially? The woman who tested you and everything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yep. I've been with her. I've seen three different therapists over the course of my adult life, but this third one is the one that I received my diagnosis with and have continued to work with.
And I wanted to ask you about the tools, because we've talked about medication, and you said there's other tools out there that are great, you know, that aren't going to like necessarily fix it, or and nothing's going to really fix it. But maybe let's talk about like those tools and those holistic approaches you do. I know you get out in nature a lot, which I love, and I'm so jealous of. But like, what are some things maybe that people can do at home or out in nature that has helped you?
So it's interesting because people are always surprised by this, but I'm really introverted. And I tell them that, and they're like, what, how? Like, you're on TV and all the social things, but I'm really introverted. So I recharge by time spent alone. I recharge hiking. I recharge by like organizing my closet, which sounds kind of ridiculous, but I like doing that kind of stuff. And when I was struggling with anxiety, I think a lot of people would say, well, you need to go for a walk with a friend or get outside, like make sure you surround yourself with
sounds
people.
Awful. Organizing closet sounds so much better than talking to someone.
And that's kind of how I was in a weird way. But then I would get like on this loop about like, I don't want to go for a walk with her now, you know, like now I'm paranoid about going on the walk and having to talk about things and I feel uncomfortable. And so it just becomes this whole thing. So what I would encourage is to like spend some time figuring out how you actually recharge the best, like what fuels your soul. Is it going for a walk or is it spending time with friends? And then implementing a self-care plan. And this is what we do when I can start to feel like a swing coming on. And you could use this if you start to feel anxiety coming on or a little bit of the blues, you know, you can implement your self-care plan. So for example, mine is, am I eating properly? And properly doesn't mean have I had a salad and a smoothie and am I eating healthy, but it just means, am I nourishing myself? If I want cookies, have I had a cookie today, or am I depriving or restricting myself? So I check in first with my body and how I'm feeding it, because everything starts with like the food and energy we're putting into our body. Mm-hmm. So I check on that. And then often, honestly, like I'll just watch TV for a couple hours, no shame. Like as long as it's not, I don't slip into, I'm going to be on the couch for 4 days and not get up and shower, that's a problem. But if I can lay down and watch TV for a few hours and maybe take a nap, that's really recharging for me. So those are some of like my self-care plans. Maybe not everyone is able to, but I highly recommend getting a pet because Rio has kept me more accountable for getting outside, moving my body, taking in fresh air, even when I don't want to. And even if it's only for 15 minutes around the block, like every little bit helps keep.
Did you not have a dog during like your height of paranoia and all of that?
No. So I had my French bulldog, Leo and Rio. Yeah. And Leo went to live with my parents. And that was when I was like living in LA, starting She Lift, Bachelor, Bachelor season three. And so, yeah, I didn't have the dog and I was working for myself, starting a business. I had no one to hold me accountable to, like we said, getting up from the computer. Yeah.
I say the same thing. I'm like, I'm an introvert, I guess, depressive personality. And if I didn't have Gergi, like when I was in LA, like I could be horizontal for days. So like, thank God for dogs. And I wouldn't also get up until like noon, but thank God I have a little guy scratching at my face at like 7:30.
Dogs are the best. They also help. They help just with any type of like just loneliness and heartbreak. But I want to talk about being horizontal for 4 days and ask Sarah about balance, right? Because as humans, sometimes that is what we need. Sometimes that is the answer, is to stop. And because the world's always on, it's even harder to find the balance now in a pandemic, right? It's like, well, how much do I work? How much do I relax? So you have to live with all of that on top of having bipolar. So how do you find the balance, Sarah? And
how's the pandemic been for you with that?
Right. And how do you be nice to yourself?
Well, that's a really great question. So it's interesting. I was talking about this actually with my therapist today, about the pandemic and how, you know, I was talking about, I'm feeling really uninspired. I'm not feeling creative. I open Instagram and I see all these influencers who are like making reels, like how to, and like pointing all over the screen and like doing fun creative things. And I'm like,
I hate those. I hate them.
The how to's or reels in general.
I just TikTok's like, you know how people, I'm imagining them just pointing in the air before they're typing out the phone. Yeah.
But it takes a lot of it takes a lot of effort. Be like, okay, there.
I know. I'm not saying I'm not fascinated or impressed. I'm just saying they're like so annoying.
I love it, but I'm that generation, I think. I don't know.
I mean, thanks, I consume a lot of it too, but I'm like, I've been comparing myself to it. I'm like, I don't do that on Instagram. Do I need to do that? Do I need to like make reels of me baking banana bread now? Who am I? Like having a little bit of an identity crisis.
Yes.
And we talked about how, like, I think everyone's kind of having an identity crisis right now because of the pandemic. And what will be interesting to see play out, we don't have the answers for right now, but is like, what happens when do we just become complacent with living and working out of our house? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the pandemic, how long it's going to go on, because I feel like right now we're all being like, okay, well, be gentle with yourself. It's okay. We're living through a pandemic. Like, our main job right now is to just survive and stay healthy and have grace. If you haven't been doing your beauty routine the way you used to, just like be patient with yourself. But what happens when that goes on for like 4 years, like it's going to happen to everyone, and what's everyone's like collective mental health going to be like? Right. And I don't know, like that's pretty scary, because it does seem like the more and more people I talk to, they're like, yeah, I feel the same way. I'm uninspired and I'm not feeling creatively motivated. So I don't know, but I'll follow that up with saying, in many ways, the pandemic has probably been the best thing that could happen for my mental health personally. That's just for me. I don't know about anyone else, but actually, I'm not going to say the best thing, because there's really, really shitty things about it. But like in terms
of... But it has brought in a lot of good. I agree. Yeah. People are like now working on themselves.
Right.
That's self-work. Yeah. That's what self-heal.
I mean. Yeah. Side projects, passion projects.
Yeah. I hope that didn't come out wrong.
No, not at all. No, I understood.
No, I just meant... that's not what we mean.
If I hadn't literally been forced to focus and give time and space for this healing for myself, it might not have happened. And if Dylan and I were constantly like airplane hopping and bouncing from country to country, I probably wouldn't have had the time to focus on, you know, healing my disordered eating and body image complex and bipolar. And so I'm grateful for the sense that like just being grounded in this apartment has forced me to do the hard work. So that's the positive, I guess.
That is a positive.
That is a positive.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Thinking you did go through like body image issues and all of that, and you're getting that in order. And a lot of side effects of medication is like weight loss or weight gain. Has that affected you at all?
No. No, I've had no, I mean, I've gained weight because I'm eating, because I'm properly nourishing myself or trying my best these days. Not every day is perfect. And I've gained weight from that, but that's it. You know, nothing medication related. But I, again, like I said, everything's a whole working system, and I might not have focused on healing my body image issues if I hadn't been on the medication, if I hadn't found out about the bipolar. Like, everything contributes to a different aspect of who I am.
Definitely. I wanted to ask you about, I asked you this, but I wanted to like, really, because I feel like you just have a good grasp on being nice to yourself. And sometimes it's really hard for each of us to be really nice to ourselves. Sometimes like the negative self-talk takes over, you know, and self-doubt. And in the pandemic, it's like, I should be doing this. I should be doing that.
Yeah.
Why am I not doing this? And you've helped me personally and a lot of people by stuff you've said on Instagram. So I'd love for you to elaborate and talk about like when we get that feeling of like, I should be doing something.
I mean, thank you for saying that. And I think I do try to stay pretty positive, real, I would say. But I mean, like I have those same thoughts, and I, like I just said, I'm comparing my Instagram reels to all the girls pointing everywhere. And
where should you call them, the pointers?
Or the ones where you like jump and then your outfit changes.
Yeah.
They were cute at first, but I don't want to see it anymore.
They're everywhere. They're oversaturated. We don't need it.
I cannot.
But no shade if anyone listening has done one of those. So I don't know, but I think it's just like, I'm hard on myself too at times. And I really am just trying to remember that it passes. And I know that that's easier said than done, but like, I convince myself, like, Sarah, just remember it will pass. Like, this might be a couple of days, it might be a couple of months, but like it will pass, and you have done great things and you've gotten through great things and you're talented. And maybe what the world needs right now is to hear someone say that they're sick of those pointing stupid Instagrams. Like, and so I just try to like, to remind myself that we're all going through this. No one has a microscope on me except me. And that, like, really and truly, I just repeat it. It happened just this weekend where I was like, just get through today. It'll be better tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, it'll be better the next day. Just one foot in front of the other.
Think about the worst thing you've ever been through in your life. And if you get through that, then you can get through that day.
Yeah.
I wanted to, I don't know if you guys have any more questions. I have one more, but then I want to ask you about like other stuff, Sarah.
Yeah.
But
I was going to end it on a fun note too. Maybe like a little rapid fire.
Okay. Yeah.
Rapid fire.
Okay. I love rapid fire. But before we do that, I actually want your thoughts on Bachelor if you're watching, Sarah. I don't know if you are, but anyways, what's just your biggest takeaway thus far on this journey, you know, with bipolar? Biggest lesson?
The biggest lesson I would say is, how do I articulate this? My biggest takeaway is that learning I had bipolar was a gift. It truly was a gift. Because if I hadn't found out, I would probably still be living in a toxic cycle of pushing people away, being irritable, pushing myself to extremes, and not moving towards a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. So I would say it's a gift, and I hope other people will take the opportunity to be given the gift as well if they suspect anything is needing the attention of a professional.
That was beautifully said.
You're such a light in this world, and we can't thank you enough for like opening up about all that. Oh, I know it was your first time, but like that was amazing and so helpful for me to hear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very educational. Yes. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, then you wanted to ask about The Bachelor specifically, Ness?
Well, Sarah, I'm just curious. Are you watching that season?
I am watching. I did not see last night's episode that you were on, Ashley, but I have to watch it still. But yes, I'm watching.
Very awkward. I haven't seen it either, Sarah.
I mean,
so
I read everyone's comments on it, so I'm sure it's going to...
What were they saying? What were the comments?
Well, wait. I don't know who Alex is, but you were commenting with someone. They were like, imagine Alex hearing it.
Does that Alex hearing it?
I know. I was like,
I was messaging
did
somebody?
They meet Jared? No, in the comments, they were like, imagine reading it to Alex. Maybe this is nothing.
Oh, maybe someone was, I don't know, talking about their own personal Alex.
Oh, that was Maura, Lauren, talking.
Oh, okay.
That was Maura talking. It was our best friend talking about doing it with her boyfriend.
Oh, so, gotcha.
I can't wait.
Her boyfriend having to endure listening to me read the erotica.
No, I just can't wait to watch it. I mean, it's hilarious. Are you like employed full-time by ABC now?
They're very sweet and kind to me. I have no idea. I mean, forever grateful for every time I get to go back and make a visit. I am mind boggled.
I know
that it keeps happening. I remember like after, I guess, the first season of Paradise, I was like, you guys, I can't believe this is the last time we're ever going to be doing something. Like the last
and
reunion,
now you're
the
both
last
are
episode.
Elders.
And there's always something that comes up when we come back.
I know.
It's nice.
I'm waiting for the Ashley and Jared televised wedding and probably spinoff show. Like, I would not be surprised if you guys get some sort of spinoff.
I don't know. But I will say, going off of what you said earlier about my dad's funny Instagram content, Jared and I are, like, thinking about buying a house and stuff. And I'm like, why don't we just live with mom and dad half the time next year and then live with your sister the other half of the time? Think about the amazing dad content.
Wait, I just had a good idea. You buy the house. You buy like a rough house and have Fred, Jared's dad, and our dad do some reno and they'd be hilarious.
Oh my God. They really would.
Jared's dad, Fred, has the thickest New England accent in the world. And obviously, you know, our dad, and that would be some pretty
That'd
good content.
So actually, funny. Yeah, the real reality stars in our family are dads, for sure.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't fall too far.
Start pitching it first for real.
Okay. We'll make a sizzle.
Yeah.
I had a really... Sarah, do you love, like, wine? Like, are you a wine alcohol person?
I
had a really good would you rather for my parents yesterday and my boyfriend, and I stumped them.
Ooh.
Would you rather give up alcohol for the rest of your life or give up the internet for 10 years?
Oh God.
Give up alcohol.
I would rather give up
That's
alcohol.
So easy. Alcohol.
Okay. I know it's easy for us. Duh. Fuck that. Fuck drinking. But I don't know. Maybe for someone else. They were like, fuck the internet. We don't need it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can see. people. I don't think I could live without the internet, but Dylan and I have actually, we're doing dry January, and we actually quit drinking for like 4 months over the fall, and we pretty much prefer it.
None of us really do. Yeah. Well, actually, in the pandemic has become a little bit of a wino, but typically it's not none
over
of
the
us
past
drink.
Year. It was literally just over the fall and in December, but I'm back on track to just having like 2 glasses a week.
Yeah, the holidays are hard.
Yeah, the holidays are fun.
I just really like seasonal beverages. We had like a whole ramble about that.
Yeah.
I was just like, I mean, you add a little bit of like cinnamon or apple or something, and I was just like, it's cozy.
Yeah,
it is. Okay. Sarah, do you have an I don't get it? Oh, sorry, Ash.
I was going to ask like a random rapid fire.
Do it.
This is what I do on Almost Famous.
That's okay, what's your rapid fire?
Like, do you have in-depth any questions? Interviews, because this is an in-depth interview, so I like to take it off on a light note. So my first, it was going to be, what's the food that you go to when your body is craving something that's not technically good for you, but your soul needs it?
I would say pizza or bagel breakfast sandwiches.
Delightful. Oh, two great answers.
Yum, yum.
Breakfast bagel sandwich.
I want a bagel right now with chive cream cheese.
Without Dylan getting annoyed, who's the guy in the Bachelor franchise that you would have liked to take out in paradise but never got to?
Oh.
And they didn't have to be in paradise.
They didn't have to.
Brooks Forrester. None of you guys weren't there for season one. Naz, you weren't there, right?
No, but I know him very well.
Yeah, so Brooks and I are friends, which was funny, but I was like crushing so hard. And then he showed up and I was with
Robert. He's a babe. When I say I know him, I've never met him. I'm like, I know his face.
He's so underrated. He's got such a nice personality.
One, like, who's the hottest guy in the franchise? I think he is.
He's very John Mayer-y, I feel like.
In my head. Okay, wait, this is gonna be kind of silly. I have to show you this text message. So this is just audio, or do you guys post your
It's just audio. If this was video, I would not look like this.
Okay, so my friend Ashley and I, you guys maybe have met Ashley, but you remember, so I dated Robert Graham on
What a throwback.
I know. Season one was
like,
good.
Season one was
in Tulum, actually. And it was the only season ever in Tulum. And then since then, it's been in
Sunny. I'd love to rewatch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
with
a
Michelle.
Good season.
Yeah.
Dang it. Okay. I'm not finding this. This is so funny. All of our photos between each other, like James Taylor, like doing stupid stuff. Okay. I can't find the picture, but the other day, I'm like, I hope Dylan can't hear. There is Robert posted this photo. I think it was Halloween, actually. I screen grabbed it and sent it to my friend Ashley. And I was like, sometimes I just have to remind myself that I once dated this guy because he was so, so hot.
That's so funny.
That's amazing.
That's so funny. You know what's funny about that, Sarah, is that sometimes when I get down on my luck, or you know, in my love life or whatever it is, sometimes I think about all the guys I've been in bed with and I'm like, damn, I'm like, I have a hot track record.
Yeah.
I'm good. I've been in bed with some hotties.
I got some duds in there, but the hotties overcome. Yeah.
I like to say that I don't have duds in there and I'm pretty proud.
Someone selective about her choices.
Yeah, when you're super, super selective.
When you only have a kiss list of like 23.
Yeah. A kiss list. Amazing. Yeah,
a kiss list.
We should do a podcast on kiss list.
How many would be on your kiss list? That's a good rapid fire question.
Kiss list? I have no idea.
Over 50?
Duh. Yeah.
For real. Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Sorry, guys. I guess I'm just so innocent.
Let's put it this way. Okay, on Dylan and I's very first date, we went to a coffee shop middle of the day, and he walked me to my car, and I got up on my toes, and I kissed him goodbye. And he was like, what, like kiss on the first date? And I was like,
yeah.
My exact words were, I come from The Bachelor. I move fast.
We have to end on that note. That's amazing.
That's so cute. All right, Sarah, you're the sweetest. Thanks for opening your heart to us today. We really appreciate it. And I know there are people out there who are going to maybe have their life changed because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guys, let us know in the Facebook group and send Sarah messages on what your thoughts were. And Sarah, do you have anything to plug or tell us what exciting things you're working on these days or where people can find you?
I have nothing to plug right now. And that might be the first time I've ever said that, but.
And that is okay.
And that's so nice. Yeah.
Just follow me on Instagram. I'm posting like once a week because I don't have anything interesting going on in my life.
Everyone's like that.
Yeah. Just more dog content.
Yeah. Yeah. Old travel photos.
Yes. Okay. And stop pointing into the air. Okay. We love you guys.
Bye.
Hey there. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I would love to take a moment to invite you over to my new podcast, Christy's Couch. I am Christy Lukasiak, and Christy's Couch is a space where all of us gals can kind of kick back, chat, relax, gossip a little bit. We talk things reality TV, definitely celebrity gossip, maybe learn a thing or two about how we can improve our lives. And there's definitely some self-deprecating humor over there because I do not take myself too seriously. So if you want to join me on my couch, it might be exactly what the doctor ordered. Simply search Christy's Couch on your favorite podcast app, and I'll see you over there. Bye.
I don't get it.
Podcast.